today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2022, and there's a family that I've been very closely associated with. Two of his brothers are my students, and his father is my student. For many years, the father has been on, until Corona, he was here in the classroom. Now it's all on screen. And Shalom Miller, Rabbi Shalom Miller, died last night. He had a heart attack in the middle of his shiur on Thursday. He was giving his shiur, and right in front of his Talmidim, he collapsed.
Last Thursday.
Before Rosh Hashanah. I heard about it after Rosh Hashanah. All right, it doesn't matter. Shem Yirachem. And they couldn't save him. It wasn't so much the heart, but I understand there was blood bleeding on the brain, and that's the heart they can deal with to a certain degree, but that's very, very dangerous. He died last night, and I can't even say words of Nichum yet. It's Meitu Mutalafanov. The funeral is this morning in Ma'ale Adumim. That's one drop of bad news. The onslaught against Rabbi Berman, my dear student president, and against Yeshiva and the stand they've taken continues. It's overwhelming to me. Everyone issues a statement about the LGBTQs in the future, just LH, I'll call it. And there was a letter published in the Commentator with endless people signing, and there's no good. And now Rabbi David Beshefkin, a statement issued to NCSY, and I happen to know Rabbi Beshefkin. These are all wonderful, good, reliable B'nai Teira. And this whole question of how we relate to LH, it's very similar to a question how we relate to Machalal Shabbos and Ochlin Gavet and Trefa. No one is saying to castigate them, embarrass them. On the other hand, since 1973, until 1973, and there's a psychologist sitting here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I doubt if I'm wrong, because I remember the rub, I remember what happened, and I heard it, I was living here already, but I heard it on a tape. In 73, there was a convention of psychologists, psychiatrists, and a motion was made that this should no longer be viewed as deviant behavior, but as normative behavior. People are born this way, can't help themselves. You all know this. And I remember the Rev became hysterical at Moriah in his weekly shiur, because he already read that they were thinking in terms of same-sex marriages. And again, I don't have to tell you the flood, Noach, the Gemara in Chulin, Kotan, the Love Ketuvah. I don't have to give you all the sources. Our problem today is, and I suffer more than anyone, because the Orthodox rabbi who started it happens to be a very close student from 1980, 81, right here in the Kollel, sat right in front of me. In a different room we were at. The room where we originally taught doesn't exist anymore. It was rebuilt. That part of the building was rebuilt. It's the Abraham program, but that's where I taught, and then next door to Mina Chabaleva, which taught. It was, I have quite warm memories. So what they want is to be accepted as normative. This is no different than what happened or is happening at the Kotel. What does the reform movement want? And when I say reform, I mean conservative reform, because unfortunately there's no difference today. If you know what's going on in the conservative movement with its marriages, performing them and accepting them and membership, they're 20 years behind the reform movement, but not more than 20 years. And what do they want at the cult? How did they come to the cult? They don't believe in Kabbalah. The reform abolished it and never reinstituted it. You open a conservative prayer book, it says, Shehikrivu lefanecha, past tense. We say the nakriv lefanecha. So what do they want? And how many of them come to Kotel? All I can tell you is, I cry, I can't go anymore, my feet don't carry me. But my daughter and son-in-law were at the Kotel Friday night, and they've been there. Many of my daughter came, you know, Shabbos afternoon, comes to visit us, see that we're okay. And she was telling us they reached that all the way, walked me to the Kotel. Her husband was upset. What are we doing? We're going here. Then they had a it's not exactly a family affair, but I'll call it that. It was a convention of a certain type of medical doctors spending a Shabbat together at the King David, and they were invited because part of their family is very, very active in that circle, a very well-known doctor in that field. And all the way along, my dear son-in-law, Danny, was upset because he runs his shul. And as my daughter says, he's married to me and he's married to the shul. And they reached the Kotel. She said they were both overwhelmed with the crowd and the davening and the spirit. And Ribbono Shel Olam, where do you find Reformed Conservative Jews? So what they want is very simple. They want recognition that they're normative. They want to sign up Orthodox Minyan here, Reform Conservative here. Pay your nickel, take your choice. And you know, I have a very strong opinion against this. It is Orthodox Torah here, intermarriage and assimilation here. What the Reform and Conservative have done, and I can tell you endless stories here, but you don't need me to tell you. Look at the Pooh report and look at any report in the world. This is the reality. If you don't have Torah, so of course, you're no different than anyone else in the Western world. And if you go to school, Jews, non-Jews, you learn together, sit together, eat the same thing. They don't celebrate Sunday, you don't celebrate Shabbos. There's no God left in the Western world. So why not intermarry? And this is one of the reasons I'm very opposed to having an area for Reforming Conservative or publicizing it. I have another reason which no one seems to mention to me. It's the most important reason. It's a desecration of the Makom HaMikdash. This is where separate seating was institutionalized. The Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Aleph, Nun Bet, the Tikkun Gadol, and Lichboshet HaMalka, B'toch HaBayit, you understand, right where it was institutionalized and became halacha, we're going to have mixed davening. All right, I have a same thing here. What the LH wants is they want to be recognized that this is normative. And I totally disagree with all these special announcements. Treat them, welcome them. Yes, you can, if you send out a letter, dear religious committed Jews, when a Machalos Shabbos, or an Oichle Nevelet and Treifat, or Bol Bilot Asurat, or an LH walks into your shul, don't embarrass them, accept them. And I have no problem with that. But that my own colleagues should go ahead and sign letters and send out letters, normative. And now let me tell you something. And I have a very erudite crowd right in front of me and on the screen. I've been teaching Torah 63 years. Don't you think I've had cases of L and H? Of course I had. The majority of students that had this problem, it is not inborn. It is a result of the realities of life. And the more you make it normative, the more people who take what to them is the easy way. What I just had a discussion with my grandson. He has a good boy that I know for many years. They went to school together, army together, etc. My grandson, thank God, is married with all the difficulties. You know, you got to learn how to adjust to another person, another point of view. And the later you get married, the harder it is. Because if you get married, I got married at 22, my wife was 20. We were both firstborn. If you do the research on firstborn, we had very strong feelings. We had to learn how to adjust, Baruch Hashem. But imagine if you're used to living by yourself till you're 31, 32, when you're so self-centered, marriage becomes infinitely harder. And this kid, I asked my grandson, how's your friend doing? What's doing? Is he going out? No, he doesn't want to get married. He says he's happy to be alone. He doesn't have to deal with anyone else. And I told him, send back a message from Gran and myself, whom he knows and respects. You grow older alone, it's not pleasant. And I can tell you, my dear student, I've not shared my peace with Dr. Norman Gold's death. And I can tell you, had Normie Gold remarried, he would have been alive today. He didn't feel well. Rush him to the emergency room. Call Hatzalah. They discussed that was Friday. The lady who looked in, the non-Jewish lady who walked his dog, looked in on him. She looked in on him Sunday. They figure he was dead 48 hours already. Had he lived, he got to live. When we was Friday night, we were invited out. It was a very elegant Friday night. And Baruch Hashem, we made the walk back in one piece, but not easy for us anymore. And a very elegant crowd. And this lady who hosted it said to Malka, I want to remarry. I don't want to grow old with the fear of falling with no one next to me. And I told the lady afterwards, I said, you should know, Malka and I walked together holding hands. So we met Friday night, out of Rosh Hashanah, going to my son-in-law's shul. We meet someone, a real character, I don't want to identify him, but a little bit, more open and modern today. And he gets a stir. And he remembers me as a Rebbe in NYU in the 60s. And he gets us with joy. He says, oh, if I could only take a picture, the Rebbe walking with his wife hand in hand. And he's so happy. It's like it made his Rosh Hashanah already. So I understood it. I said to him, listen, you should know, it's not only because of love. It's simply if we fall together. It eases the fall. So Vic got the message, and I have to tell you, why adjust to a woman? The Gemara says in Shabbos, Nashim am bifnei atzmam hem. Different understanding, different desires, a different sexual makeup. I'm another man, I know him, but big deal, I don't want to go further. And if you don't believe me, I'll tell you one little story that it breaks my heart until today. Unfortunately, I have a soft heart. I love people. I only want to do good. I only want to see good. And this story first broke in Yediot without names. It then broke 10 years later in the New York Times with names. And I'm caught in the middle of the story. And it's my dearest friends. I write about them in Washington. They're no longer alive. We bonded together on the Russian issue. I became a bimbayit in their home. And I cannot tell you how close we became. And they became total balei tshuva. When they became balei tshuva, they went to Rabbi Riskin and asked him, who would he recommend to teach their daughter? They switched the children to Ramaz to catch up. Be on a level, because they never went to a day school. So Rabbi Riskin sent a fine student of his. He didn't know. I'm not criticizing Rabbi Riskin. This student turned into be a sexual fiend. How he's not in jail, how he got away with what he's done in his life. So he comes to the house, starts teaching the girl, and he sleeps over, and he starts 14-year-old girl raping her, statutory rape. You know the case, Alan? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So this girl, and later he goes on a whole career of seduction and rape and seduction. Mm-hmm. Finally, in Israel, they went to court against him because he promised these women he'll marry them if they sleep with him. So he doesn't keep the promise. They went to court, and they got a tzav ikuv yetziyah, but it's before email, and the tzav ikuv yetziyah reached the airport the next morning. Someone tipped him off from the police. He knew about it. He got on an LL plane, the midnight flight. And the next morning, they take a look. He left the country, the Tzavi Kuvyatin. He's never come back, obviously, but in America got into a lot of trouble afterwards. Now, this girl who was raped consulted, there were six children in the family. She consulted with the sister who was 2 years older than her. There were four girls, two boys. All right? 40 years, 50 years later, what's the story? The girl who was raped all the time, took all of religion, raped by a young rabbi, and threw it away. No one can blame her. She married a guy, they got divorced, she married a Jew the second time. But nishtar brekel Yiddishkeit, not a drop of Yiddishkeit remained. The girl that she confided in became a lesbian. Not only a lesbian, the head of the Orthodox lesbians married another Orthodox girl, I know the name of the other one. It was the New York Times Wedding of the Week. Vic, it was the most difficult shayla I ever got in my life. Her parents asked me, Aaron, should we go to the wedding? Okay? Alan, I let you to give an answer. You can talk with me afterwards, I'll tell you what happened. But tell me, is this inborn lesbian? And by the way, they're still married today, and I can tell you they're Shomrei Shabbat 100%. I got Shanka. I had a relationship. He was my student, and we had, over the years, I answered her questions. So I ask you, you see, the minute you make it normative, people come out of the woodworks. Okay, now, I had more cases. There's one case where I think he was really born that way. One case I had. But the other cases, the one was an overbearing mother and only son among many daughters. I mean, the psychologists have a field day with these questions. But I want to tell you something else, and this is crucially important. And this I heard from the Rav, if not 1,000 times in one. Look. We live in the Western world. We're Talmidim of the Rav. We all of us here are living in an open society. We don't fence ourselves into a closed society. And the Rav felt that this is the only way to live. Inevitably, it may very well be because of the computer. It's impossible to live otherwise. We all live in it's a global village. Even in Satmar, as we will see in our Monday class, and as Alan can testify, even in Satmar, they're affected by the big world. Now, so, willy-nilly, again, a word the Rav taught me, willy-nilly, we live in two worlds. But whenever the big Western modern so-called world, what they call progressive, what I call retrogressive, contradicts Torah, you have to go with Torah. This is the basis of our belief. And even at times it may be a little difficult. The Western world makes sense. Democracy. Majority vote. Could you imagine we're going to put Shmirat Shabbat to a vote? All the Jews in the world are going to vote. We're going to put Kashrut to a vote. All the Jews in the world are going to vote. We're going to put Taharat Mishpacha to a vote. We're going to have Weinstein vote and Epstein vote. Go any further. Could you imagine what the results will be? We can't believe in a pure democracy. This is part of being a Torah Jew. There's commitment, there's surrender, there's not seven Ishma. And this is so troubling where you see Jews within our own camp who would believe, instead of saluting Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, that he's standing firm, he's standing up to the Western retrogressive world, instead of saluting him, criticizing, publishing statements that they have nothing to do, they don't agree with what's going on in YU. And I want to just mention, I see some of the names I shake. Could you imagine someone teaching a course in Shelet and Shuvat who has no belief in Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch and the halachic process? Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you teach it? You don't believe in it. This is belief. This is not teaching mathematics or biology or chemistry. Yirat Hashem, without Reshit Chochma, Yirat Hashem, nothing gets off the floor. Can you imagine teaching Tanakh in Yeshiva College, in Stern College, in Bernard Revel Graduate School, and not coming out in support of Ari, but criticizing him? It's beyond my comprehension. And I see names here, names that I... Jonathan Dauber, Associate Professor of Jewish Mysticism, Revel Graduate School. Rabbeinu Shalom, Jeffrey Gurak, Professor of Jewish History, Stern College, Libby Klapperman, Professor of Jewish History, Revel Graduate School. I've read some of his writings. He has one piece on the Rabbanim, the Agudas HaRabbanim. It's a fabulous piece. But Rabbeinu Shel Olam to write, to teach, and be angry at the heads of the Yeshiva University, because they don't want to add to the LH onslaught, that is perfectly normative. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Chilul Shabbos is not the normative way of life for a Jew, and Taret Mishpacha, Bitul Taret Mishpacha is not normative for us, and all this type of lifestyle, we can't accept it. We're not going to prosecute, we're not going to persecute, we're not going to curse, we're going to accept you with a smile and with love and understanding. And if you ask, I have a problem, we'll try to deal with it. I know cases, and this has been documented, who became very normative in their sexual life. It was a little hard, but they managed, succeeded beautifully. And their grandparents today, L'Kavod L'Tiferet, Aaron Kala, Professor Bible, Hebrew and Near Eastern Studies, Yeshiva College and Stern College. I don't understand it. Shalom Holtz, Professor of Bible, Hebrew and Near Eastern Studies. This is beyond my comprehension. Cardozo Law School, that they come out against why you are right, I can understand. You can imagine what kind of lawyers and judges they will be. We're going to have to fight big battles to have judges here in Israel, the Supreme Court. Baruch Hashem Zachinu, the first woman judge, Wilner, Supreme Court. She was involved in the decision against Mazuz. You don't know what's involved there unless you live in Israel. Mazuz, this is one of our tragedies, a product of Chinuch Atzmai, enmity towards religion, enmity towards Yehuda v'Shomran, Mazuz, and thank God the Supreme Court knocked out his appointment. But you have to understand who this Wilner is. We've had members of the Supreme Court, women who are Shomrat Shabbat. Yeah? Real Shomrat Shabbat, traditional. It's the first woman in the Supreme Court who covers her hair. She wears a shekel in the Supreme Court, but she covers her hair at all times. She's a Chorev graduate. She's a granddaughter of a great Rav, Rav Ariel, who was Rav Kook's Talmud Chaver. Her father, Dr. Nachum Ariel. 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 That's an Ariel. There's another family. Ariel. Her father, when I started teaching in 1971 in Machon Gog, he was one of the most famous faculty members. I remember him like yesterday. Taught Machon Gol, talking Bar Ilan, and they told me, "Oh, I love Abba Gaon the Israel," and this is his daughter on the Supreme Court. And we owe a thank you to our Gveret Shaked. With all our criticism, she did some good things on the Supreme Court. All right, Atkan. I only hope that the Rosh Yeshiva in America speak out intelligently. In other words, you can't yell, you can't shout. You have to deal with the reality. But you have to make clear that a Ben Torah can never say this is normative. And you have to understand what the thrust is. It's exactly like the Kotel. They want recognition. And you should know I have suffered on this issue since 1981. that particular Talmud ate my heart out. You should also know, Elliot, my daughters never went out with any students of mine. He's the only one he went out with one of my daughters. Okay? So, Daila Hakima Baramisa. I also want to mention, I never realized how, by the way, we have to rejoice, Aaron Judge, I got so many emails from all over the place, from Lakewood, there everyone remains Americans, Rabarina Shafet, but he still hasn't hit the 62nd. My wife already asked me this morning, knew, did he do it? They walked him twice, hit him with a pitch once, and I think he struck out twice. And there's some Edelkeit in him. I like him. And he's not a playboy. I don't say he's a tzaddik, but he's not a playboy. He's been with the same lady since high school. He married his high school sweetheart. Finally, maybe they want to have children, but he's not a playboy. You got to know what that means. DiMaggio was a playboy. Muzio was a family man. That was an example because the kids look up to these people. Mickey Mantle was a minus 100 on a scale of 1 to 100 minus. I've garnished an ice bath. He thought he'd die at 33 like his father and grandfather. So he played a lot. He died when he finally died in the hands of a different woman. Not his wife. He was still married, but he was living with another. God so lucky. Roger Maris, beautiful example. A believing Catholic. Practicing Catholic, loyal to his wife, I think 6 years. See how fine his son is, who sits next to the lady who raised Aaron Judge. It's not his mother. He was adopted. He's evidently from a white, a black event. What's the word they use? What's the word where it's a white one husband?
Biracial.
Whatever the technical word is, but he was adopted at birth, and this lady raised him. All right, so we pay respects, at least I can laugh on a very sad morning. What's amazing is I use the expression, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. I never knew there was so much lumpness in that expression. So a Talmud sent me from Wikipedia, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. It means you really don't know. It's like Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. And what does it mean, the fat lady sings? That in the opera, generally the ladies who sang were chubby because it gives them a better voice. And when she ends off her opera role, that's when it's over. Now, I remember, and this, if anyone can confirm it, I'll be happy. I remember they used this in Brooklyn with the Brooklyn Dodgers. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. I mean, the game can't begin until that lady sang, I think her name was Gladys. It should be checked out.
Kate Smith.
Kate Smith. Now, where I get Gladys? Gladys may be one who blew the horn. They had a whole group in the stadium, in the bleachers. Check it out. Kay Smith was her name, and she was a fat lady, and they said the game can't begin till she sings. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but that's what I remember. Okay, one other word. I used the word sonogram, and I was correct. Both words are correct. And Yomo checked it out for me. I read to you what he wrote. An ultrasound is a tool used to take a picture. A sonogram is the picture that the ultrasound generates. So I used a sonogram. So it's the result of the ultrasound. Okay, now what we're dealing with, and I introduced it last week, and as I explained last week, it deals with very delicate sexual problems. When I was growing up, well, we didn't talk about this in public, but I showed you Rabbaran Lichtenstein. It's a beautiful name. When Rabbaran wrote something, his English and his level of thought was one of a kind. I hope I achieve it in what I write about Torah history or in Halacha, but nothing can equal his English. So Rabbaran goes back and forth and says, but in this generation we have to talk about it. I'll come to this either later today or next week, you'll see. But the Shaila is very simple. It's Mishnah Halacha. It's volume Tetvav, volume 15, and it's Siman Kuf Yud Chet. And the Tshuva is written in 2000. Evidently, the ultrasound is just beginning. You have to ask someone who's a radiologist, I would imagine, who would be able to give you the exact history. And here, Reb Menashe Klein gets asked the question, should we do ultrasounds? And he begins his answer very simply, Habateach Bashem, Chesed Yisov Avenu, why do we get involved in asking questions? And nevertheless, see, this is Reb Menashe Klein. Natan, there's a welcome. There's a certain intellectual honesty, which I greatly appreciate. And people poke fun at him in the right-wing world. I remember they used to call him Mishnah Halachat Mishaneh Halachat. All right, he had a certain open-mindedness and a certain Hasidic bend that others were lacking. I've showed you many times, he'll go into certain Hasidic stories where Moshe would never answer like that. Even the Minchat Yitzchak, I would say, would never answer like that. But he was a very fascinating individual. He mastered perfect English. His bosom buddy was Eli Wiesel. So you're dealing with a very interesting individual. I'm sorry I never met him. I did meet him on screen. You can find this at what the internet has is beyond comprehension. There is, I was very moved where he's meeting with Balei Tshuva in Israel. And you can see his Hebrew is more limited than his English. Because when he is speaking and he doesn't know the word in Hebrew, he says it in English. And the Balei Tshuva, every Israeli kid knows English, particularly Balei Tshuva, who watch television and movies and may have traveled, and they'll give him the English word. So, you see, the Gemara in Bracha, Daf Samech Amud Aleph, and this is where we ended off the class last week, the whole sugya about a tefillat shav. You find out your wife is pregnant, and you pray to God, I want a boy, I want a girl, are you allowed to? But you see, it's natural to have a desire that I prefer a boy, I prefer a girl. I have to tell you honestly, in my case, I go against Chazal. Chazal would see it, a boy, only a boy. Once I had one daughter, that's all I wanted with daughters. But Natan, God has a sense of humor. You know how many, I will not tell you how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren I have, but we're talking tremendous numbers already, 5 minyanim plus, and the overwhelming majority of boys. Okay, I had 13 grandsons in a row till I saw a granddaughter. So, all right, the Ribbono Shel Olam even set out, but should you pray? And will praying help if it's a tefillat shav? So there's the Gemara, what we ended off with Dina, that Leah prayed and her sex was changed. So the Gemara gives two fascinating answers. One answer is, you can't talk about a miracle. This is a miracle. Miracles are above nature. The other answer is that before 40 days, the sex can go either way. Now, this would have to be checked out with experts, gynecologists. It appears to me that even before 40 days, the sex is determined. It's determined right at the moment of conception. The X, the Y, it's all that goes with it. All right, it's an interesting Gemara, and if you don't like the second answer, so say Maisanisim, that satisfies it. That satisfies it. Am I getting it right? Okay, now, I want to quote to you, and this Reb Menashe Klein quotes, and very fascinating, and here, this particular Medrash Rabbah, you can spend weeks on. Plus, it's life. It's life. You see, when the literature world, we always skip the Agada. I told you, when I taught, I didn't skip the Agada. I had the schut both to be tested by Reb Mendel Zaks when I was a student in the yeshiva, the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law, and I had the schut that my classes in the 60s, Reb Mendel Zaks came in to test my classes. So I remember in Pesachim, there was a whole Indian of Agada, and Reb Mendel Zaks is ready to skip it. I say, Agada. I taught them. And he was very impressed. They answered. I'll tell you why the Agada is very important. And here you have to give credit. It's been said, Professor Heschel writes about it, others. Because the halacha is halacha. It gives you the legal. It's more rigid. The Agada opens up your heart, your soul. It's a world. And you can analyze. You can analyze. I'll confess, I love the Gemara when it tells, you know, even halachi, like Baba Kama, Baba Batra, Baba Metzia, Hahu, they'll tell a story, and you have to determine the halacha. But you see what's fascinating about the story, it shows human beings living as human beings, human emotion. Yeah, there may be a halacha question, do you own the field, don't you own the field, but wow. It's real. And by the way, this is responsible literature. I was the first in the world in modern times, I don't know what went on 200 years ago, but to give classes in responsible literature, and it comes to life. The halacha comes to life. It's human beings walking before you, living questions. All right, so now, Midrash Rabbah, Pasha Toldot, Perik Samech Hei, Sif Yud Bet. And it's talking about Yitzchak Avinu when he calls in Esav to go out and he wants to give him a bracha. Vayomelav hineinu zakanti leyadati et yom moti. Let me check the good food, let me get excited. And when I get excited, I'm going to give you a bracha. And why? Because I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm already an older person. Let me give you a bracha. So the Medrash comments, Tanei, Shiva Devarim Mechusim Mivdei Adam. Seven different concepts a man does not know about. V'elehem Yom HaMitah. Now, what does Yom HaMitah mean? The day you'll die. No one knows when they're going to die. Here, when we started the class 45 minutes ago, Shalom, could you imagine Rav Shalom Miller goes in to teach a class and in the middle of teaching has a heart attack, collapses. You don't know. By the way, there are other cases like that. If Natan will ever do a doctorate at Hebrew U on the life of Rabbi Steve Riskin, you will find that he had organized in America, do you know the history, high schools, college, a base medrash pro, why you were shivering. And the early 70s at a Purim Chagiga, dancing with his students, the greatest machanach Rabbi Riskin had, Pini Bach, the son of Rabbi Benjamin Bach of Baltimore. Again, I'm mentioning names up here. Rabbi Benjamin Bach was a Yudapeisha Talmud Chacham, came to America, studied with the Rav in Boston in the Kollel that the Rav organized the late 30s. I'm writing about it right now, putting it into context with the battle for the presidency of YU 41 now. So Pini Bach, B-A-K, was the boys loved him. And in the middle of dancing on Purim, had a heart attack and passed on in front of all the students. Almost no one in that room came out of it normal, including the maneuver we spoke about He was right there dancing with his Rebbe, a high school kid, including that maneuver. Riskin never was able to recover in America, meaning there was never a machane who could take the place of Pinchas Bach. His schools dissipated. He went in Aliyah. In Israel, he built a system. They're waiting online to teach there, the greatest machanchim in the world. Men, women, what we have in Israel, the Hezdi Yeshiva, the Tzioni Dati world, what we have produced. Yesh me'ayin, basically. Because it has to be an entire different mentality and point of view. And here, Baruch Hashem, they're waiting online. Now, why is it important not to know the day of our death? Could you imagine if you knew when you're going to die? You'd become, as is when you grow older, you become cynical. You see a kid come to you, I'm going to conquer the world, I'm going to change the world, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, you're already older, you look at him, what an idiot. You know, you walk away. But a kid has to feel that way. And maybe he will change. Maybe he's going to accomplish. I'm not ashamed of what I've done in my life. I look back, unbelievable. Baruch Hashem. But when you know you're going to die, oh, I'm going to die in a month's time. Let me, you know, if you're a Ben Torah, you'll say, let me learn around the clock. If you're not a Ben Torah, wine, women, song, tomorrow we're dead anyway. Let me get the most, you know, I was Rabbi Rubin's father-in-law. So we were together in Rabbi Rubin's house. His father was Rabbi Philip Goodman. Check him out, who he was. One of a kind. So he said to me, Rabbi Aaron, he said, I've been on so many diets in my life. I'm over 80 years of age. I'm going to live now and eat. And you know something? Absolutely right. I say the same thing. I'm ashamed to tell. I said, too much sugar. And I go, what the heck? I've eaten sugar for 85 years. I'll eat a little bit more sugar. Baruch Hashem, I can handle it. But you see, if a person knows when he's going to die, his whole life gestalt changes. And the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want it. You have to, what does Chazal say? Be chozer b'tshuva one day before you die. One day before you die, my whole, how do you know when you're going to die? Treat each day. Tomorrow you may be gone. By the way, a lot of the Balei Musa used this approach. And this is one of the reasons that there was opposition to Musa. Natan, what's wrong with Musa? Tell me, what's wrong with Musa? Well, one of the reasons it puts you down. It is morbid, moribund. You follow? It's we don't use death, use life. We punish a lot. If I would have tried to beat the hell out of Norm Schles when he was a kid, my student, he wouldn't be what he is today. Ah, but when his rebellion built him up, remember, you were the Yeklesh Yeki. That was your title. And he was, Baruch Hashem. Take a look. We drink cola on Pesach. Because, and you know how he survives in Ireland, where they make the essence for the whole world? He has it copyrighted. Fresh salmon that he irons. That's how he survives. Got it? No, I'm telling the truth? Okay. Baruch Hashem. But okay, this is one thing. Yom HaMita. Then it says, listen, it's very fascinating. Yom HaNechama. And what does that mean? Yom Nechama. So there are two different interpretations. I'm going to spend a little time on this because it's worth it. It's beyond the narrow halacha, but you'll see where the Menashe Klein. Yom Nechama. So two interpretations. One interpretation means on an individual level. In life, and you see it's in the prayers, we say it time again, Menuchat HaNefesh, Shalvat HaNefesh. We strive to achieve a feeling, thank God, I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm happy with my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm happy with my wife, I'm happy with my children, happy with my work. You never know, you have to strive for it. By the way, very rarely does a person achieve total shalvat ha-nefesh. There's always going to be a puncture that comes along. And this is how the psychologists make a good living. And when we came in Aliyah, there were no, psychology was not here. Psychology is a reflection of a wealthy society. 53 years ago, Barbi Yesh was the first religious psychologist in the education. He developed it. My dear friend, my friend from the Bronx, he's a year younger than me, 2 years younger, Barbi Yesh, his sister was my dear student. She's no longer alive. She married Rabbi Schweiger, Myron Schweiger. Malki Schweiger, Malki, yes. My heart goes out when I mention her name. See, you can't have perfect Shabbat HaNefesh, period. But if we have to strive, if you know where you're going to achieve it, God tells you, Natan, you're going to have Shabbat HaNefesh in the year 2029. Purim, you're going to achieve it. So, he got 8 years now. He said, 7 years, let me get my math right, 7 years. He said, all right, the heck with it. I'll do this, I'll do that. I'm not going to achieve. I'll be a wise guy. I'll be arrogant. 2029, so you see, the thrill of life is removed. See, that's one pshat. The other pshat is exactly what we're living today. You don't know when the Nechama will be, when the Jewish people will achieve Nechama. To wake up in the morning and hear that Meirav Michi Eli, Shem Rishon Yirkaf, it's unbelievable. Tel Aviv, total Chilul Shabbos. She's giving permission, the train, the subway they're building will work on Shabbos. All right, I don't know if she can do it legally, it's between governments. But oh, she up. Oh, this is my decision. We point at your lives. Don't want to say anything further. We point at your lives. A pulsa de nura they did on Rabin. I don't want to go further. Wow. When are we going to have Nechama? When are we going to have Nechama? When will Gans go back to his roots as a Yiddish neshama? Become a Shomer Shabbos. What's the problem? You were raised that way. All your relatives are friends of Alan Blau. Half of Palm City relates to guns. When will we have Nechama? When? Why do I have to have this Akmas Nefesh? Why you? My cousin founded it. I grew up in YU. I never left YU. Everything is normative. And imagine they want to have a Chilul Shabbos club, an Aveilut and Treifa club, a Bo'il Bilot Asura club. I had a student in YU, he told me off why they don't allow girls into the boys' apartment. He left the dorm, he went out and took his own apartment a few blocks away. Well, but all right. We don't know when the Chama will come. Why does God do? Because we should strive. We should try. Life has to be a challenge. Menuchat HaNefesh is only when they bury you lo alonu. Until then, life is a challenge. Who would ever dream? You don't know what I'm going through with the Russian issue. You can't start to understand. Billions of dollars were put into Russia since 1991. A lot of it was Russian money, the oligarchy. It's all going to be lost. Yitzhak Kogan, who I write about in Washington, comes in Aliyah, called him back to Moscow. I'm not angry at him because he has endless grandchildren living here, children and grandchildren, but called him back to Moscow. A shul was taken over in 1918, turned into a warehouse. There's a lock on it. A few Jews in the neighborhood say, and they threat some now. Take over the shul, Yitzhak. You're a wise guy. You can do it. He knocks off the lock. He's arrested. Within a month, the building is deeded to the Jewish community. So now you have a storehouse. That once was a shul, a warehouse. This is the true story. I heard it directly from Yitzhak. About a month or two later, he's trying to figure out what to do. A man walks in, Ralph Kogan, and all in Russian, he says, "My great-grandfather davened here, my grandfather davened here." Takes out cash, puts $5 million on the table. "I want you to rebuild the shul." An oligarch, all the money that was made at that moment. He says, "And I'm sending you a friend of mine." A week later, another guy walks in and says, "Yeah, my great-grandparents davened there, we were best friends with..." Puts another... You should see what Yitzchak built. And that's not the main center. The main center is what... give me the name of the chief rabbi of Moscow, who's the Lechabad Chassid. No one here remembers the name. Look, type into Google, Moscow Chabad chief rabbi.
Lazar.
Lazar, that's the name I wanted. Lazar. What's his first name? Lazar. All right, let's not waste time now. I think it's Beryl Lazar. That's not Beryl Lazar. What he built is 10 times what Yitzchak built. But you can't believe what Yitzchak built. 5-story Shabbos elevator. First floor Chabad, Nusacharim Minyan. Second floor Ashkenaz. Third floor Sfad. Fourth floor Bukharin. Big room for smachot, for graduations, wedding. It's all going to be lost. You don't know in the Ukraine what was built. You have no idea where the Rebbe was born. It's the biggest Jewish center in the world.
I was there.
You were there. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Who knows what's going to be? And this is, we lack nechama. Life is a challenge. We're striving. We don't have menuchasa. And this is life. This is why God put you in this world. If you're not going to strive, you're not going to fight. The Gemara Nida, you make a pledge, an oath. You're going to strive to do good. But you got to strive. You got to try. It's an ongoing battle. Okay, and he says, and the Medrash goes further, and you don't know Omek Hadin, wow, is that a powerful concept. You see, you have judges, your lawyers have so many students, or lawyers have students and judges, so you're a judge. Who do you depend on? You depend upon witnesses. Are they telling the truth? You have a real problem, and you know in the United States and Israel now, the retrials, in retrials, we can never say we're absolutely sure in what we're deciding, what we're issuing a psak halacha, issuing a judgment, sending someone to the electric chair, how many movies, you can never be sure. You have to, this is part of human life, and that's why someone who's a judge always has to be hesitant. Can I believe Chikur HaEdim? It's so important. What's your take on the person in front of you? Is he reliable? And by the way, this is reflected in the halacha. Time and again, look into Choshen Mishpat, you'll see. And this is life. We can't be positive. But you see, the next we ain't of them yodeya kamo hu mistaker, the ain't of them yodeya mabili bol shel chavero. And I want to just talk mashli baba chavero. This is also part of, you never know what the other person is really thinking. And there endless examples, but I give you my funny simplest example. My wife quoted it to me Friday night again. I always say, when you give a public lecture, you have to understand the audience you're talking to. And it's no mitzvah to show off your knowledge. The mitzvah is to give a lecture that they will understand. And if you've heard my public lectures, Baruch Hashem, I only regret one lecture I gave in my life. It was early years in the rabbinate in Maplewood. I got up and maybe 40 minutes spoke about the kashrus problems in Essex County. You idiot. Half the people sitting in front of you couldn't care less about kashrus. And even if they care, who gave you the right to torture an audience for 40 minutes on Shabbos morning? That was one. 18 minutes, and the shtender should fall down at the end. If you can't get the message across in 12 minutes, Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein used to say, sit down. I say 18 minutes. Okay. It's the only talk I ever gave that I regret. Now, so then you have people come out, they hear the speaker, and I've heard this. Oh, he was brilliant. What an intellect. You know what that means? Sie nicht verstanden ein Wort. They didn't understand one word. And just Friday night, it was not Friday night, it was a call we got from America, Malka's sister, and it's a new rabbi. And Malka's sister couldn't hear the rabbi in the women's section. There's no microphone in the shul. She could not really hear him properly. But the women who were sitting up front, they walked out and said, oh, the new rabbi, what intellect. So Malka said to me, you can be sure they didn't understand the word. So that's there's a lot of truth in this. And you know, you don't know what the other person thinks, you know what level he's on. This is part of life. You don't know whether he's being honest, whether he's being... I'll give you another example. I try never to ask a student for a donation to one of my causes. Why? Because students will never say no to me. And what is happening is I'm robbing the money, because they'll come home and tell their wives, like, what are you giving to that idiot for? We have better courses to give, or more important, or courses that give us covered, and etc. Okay, you don't know mashibuli bo shel chaverim. The ein adam yodea b'ma hu mistaker. And this is so true in life. You never know where you're going to make it big, where your fortune is. And I can tell you a story. I'm a bad example because I was offered fortunes, but it meant leaving the classroom. You follow? And I always turned that down because I have to teach. You don't know what it means to me today. Sunday, I feel confident with what I spoke of. At least I'm teaching. I'm doing something. I'm opening a medrash. But I'll give you an example from Gris. Before your time, there was the head of the technological devices here, a fellow who was of Moroccan origins, went to Mahon Lev, literally a technical genius, did army, Hezda, graduated Mahon Lev, and worked in Gris. He was the sweetest, nicest, real tzaddik. What a pleasure to look at this individual. He advertised his name, because his original Moroccan name they would laugh at, so he went with the name Alon. One day I see his picture in the paper. I read the article, I can't believe it. On the side, he was part of a startup tech team. They developed something and they sold it off for hundreds of millions of dollars. Overnight, he became a multi-millionaire. Fine. What he did with his life? What would you do with your life? Natan, overnight, $200 million in your account. What would you do with it? Know what he did with his life? You won't believe it. Went to the army, presented his credentials, and said, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't put me in this world just to make money. These are my specialties. How can you use me? He came back to visit Vic. You can't believe. You know, the Navy uniforms, when they're in dress uniforms, they're like Hollywood stars. He went in, the army took him in as a major, and he's in charge of a whole development of his technological advancement on the boats, on the boats that we use to protect the oil and our boundaries. That's what he's doing with his life. He came back to visit a few times. We were very close. He always asked for me. And so you see, you don't know how you're going to make it big. Follow me? All right. Sometimes you have to shift gears. My grandson was saying to me, I'm getting paid for doing nothing. He says, because he's an expert in doing the 3Ds. They're no students now. So he's putting together a game with dinosaurs, with 3Ds. He says, I get paid for this. I've never had a better time in my life. But I see he has a Yetzer Hara to find, look for a job where they need an expert who can put a movie together. You don't know where you're going to be mistaken. All right, and Imodel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God was kind to me. I taught in Mechala, and they kicked me, and they gave me a chance to get out early with a pension. I mean, crazy that no aliyah, they don't need teachers. They don't look at you as an individual. General teachers. I got out, you can't do this anymore. I have a pensiyah taktzivit, okay? Lotzivirit. You know what that means? In modern Hebrew, they invent the terms. There's a pension that's linked to the salary of the person working. So if he gets 10,000 shekel for teaching, you get 6,000 shekel for waking up and saying modani lefanech every morning. A pension svirit is what they have today, because a taktzivit was breaking the government. Svirit means you worked so many years, you put in 500,000 shekel. You now can take out every year, they make a cheshbon, what your life expectancy is, so on the basis of what you put in, you get something every month. But a pensiya taktzivit is unbelievably better. When the teachers went on strike and they upped salaries, I told my children, I'm going to get more money now. Once the teachers go up, I'm linked to college teacher, etc., etc. It's an unbelievable, the insight that Chazal had. And then, I'll skip the order, because you don't know how you're going to make a living. You don't know what your friend thinks about you. Umalchet harisha'ah Eimatai nofel et. And of course, I need not tell you, this is the whole problem with the Satmarov and anti-Zionism, Zionism, Malchut HaRasha'ah. All right, we saw with Russia what we have lived through. Imagine Gorbachev freed the Russian people and they buried him like a dog a few weeks ago. And take a look today where we stand with Putin, and this is not a small matter. You got to understand, he is dead set serious when he says he will use tactical nuclear weapons. And you see what's happening. The Western world is pouring in a fortune of money and weapons to the Ukraine. They're not fighting. Now, the Ukraine has the ability to send long-range missiles into Russia, causing tremendous damage. The minute they send one missile, Putin will use strategic atomic weapons. You follow what's happening? Once you use strategic atomic weapons, you can destroy the world. This is the start of the end. And you all know Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and today the weapons are much more powerful. We all know how many people died from Chernobyl, how many kids, how much cancer. We know what's going on today with that Ukrainian nuclear facility. Are they attacking it? Aren't they? The UN is now stepping in with a lot of good. So, Malchut HaRasha'ah, it's also part of the tantalizing existence to do good, to achieve, to get rid of the Malchut HaRasha'ah. We don't know when, how. We try, we do our best. On all levels, Malchut HaRasha'ah to save the Jewish people. Imagine had we been able to assassinate Hitler. Malchut HaRasha'ah, bring a proper government here without Chilul HaKodesh. What Bennett did is unforgivable. He opened up the door to Bennett himself as a fine Jew, But he opened up the door to forget about the Arabs, to the Jewish elements of the hatred, the hatred for anything Jewish, the lack of understanding that just because the Western world is godless, it doesn't mean that they have a panacea. With all their godlessness, every other day in the great United States, you have mass shootings all over the place, including of the past few days. It's beyond words, but we don't know. We got to try. We have to do our best. But now we come to the most important. The Ein Adam Yodeya Ma Be'ibura Shel Ishua. And a man does not know his wife is pregnant. Already the commentators on the Midrash, how can you say you don't know? You can do an ultrasound. Here's the word in the commentary here in this edited edition, ultrasound. So he says, yeah, but even if you do an ultrasound, you don't know, will the child be smart, be stupid? Kibor, chalash, ashir, ani, kadome. All right, I'll go back to the, we don't know, plain and simple. All right, today we've made advancements, so maybe we can know. Well, you're going to see that there's a world built upon this Midrash and other Gemaras, but I just want to analyze. Tell me, what's wrong with knowing what type of child, what type of embryo, what's growing in the woman's womb? What's wrong? What's the problem? Okay. I can tell you, you won't believe what I've seen in life. First of all, some people want only boys or only girls. If the child is not what you want, they may do an abortion. And I know a story, and these people are not alive today. I would say my closest friends since we came in Aliyah. His wife got married late. One of the, and also, you got to understand something, was his parents made a bad mistake. I knew his parents intimately. His parents made a bad mistake. They had two sons, and this one they felt was the genius. They built him up. All right. And he was part of a whole group in Jerusalem of real geniuses. No girl is good enough for them. Some never married. I'm not going to mention names, but you all know one of them. Some never married. He finally married. And the girl he married, you know, she was happy to get married. Why? She was a Beis Yaakov girl who was unique. She was open-minded. Finally, she found someone. All right, he married her, married kids. So they have, let me go right, they have a girl, a boy, a girl. And he wants a boy. She had a girl. He wouldn't visit her in the hospital. That's how angry he was. What do you say, Alan? This is a Ben Torah behaves like this? This is... He's just overwhelmed by the emotion, and Umensh is correct. Didn't visit her. This is your wife. She was besakonet nefashat, she gave birth. She had that child in her 9 months. Pregnancy is not easy. He should... The shilas I just got with Yom Kippur, by the way, they're much more makil with fasting for pregnant women here in Jerusalem than they are in America. I can tell you the poskim here are more makil. I just told this lady, the doctor said you have to eat pachat mikashir, you got to listen to the doctor. You ask the doctor in my name what happens if you feel very bad, I think you got to eat normally. Check with the doctor. I said, these shilas rabbonim can only paskin after the doctor tells you what to do. I said, I always used to call David Applebaum has then become the Lord. So, but could you imagine the heartache fighting boy, girl, and while she's pregnant, you can start fighting. You can harm her. You can, the physical, mental aggravation is not healthy for the embryo. More than that, we now live in a world where abortion is a form of birth control. In America, try to correct it now a little bit. Israel, it's a form of birth control. Again, Bennett put the health ministry in the hands of merits, Shem Yirachim, but they have chametz into the hospitals on Pesach. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. Are we a Jewish state or not? If we're not a Jewish state, we're murderers. We have no right to kill one Arab. If we're a Jewish state, then we have a right to this land. We have to conquer it. The Ramban, the words of the Ramban. So abortion is a form of birth control. Allah at kama v'kama, the woman finds out it's a boy and her husband is very upset. He wants only a girl or vice versa. Abort. What are you looking into? What good is this ultrasound? But then there's a real widely discussed issue. What if you find there's a problem in the child? This is the heavyweight Shaila. If you go back to the eulogy that Rabbi Haskell Lookstein gave for the Rav, he tells a story. It's been published. It's online, I'm sure. Haskell Lookstein, part of the eulogy. Part of the eulogy you have to take with a... you have to weigh whether Hacky has seen the Rav through his prisma only, because this very, when it comes to the Rav, there are 50 different people describing the Rav 50 different ways. Just this Friday night, a Talmud from Torat Moshe, what do they call it? Tomo, Torat Moshe. So he tells me, oh, the Rav, yeah, but we're told he changed his mind even during the day. I wanted to say to him, you tell me the Rebbe who said that, tell him I want to smack his face. Change his mind. Punish Elaine, it's such a zilzal in the Rav. Yes, I said, he changed his mind on one major issue. It took him many years. Thank God he changed his mind because he saved a part of the world. The Tzionidati world, the fact that I'm here. He left Agoda to go to Mizrahi. Provided a chance for our kefir to make a living. Baruch Hashem. My lectures, you know, those lectures quoted, re-quoted. Right now I'm doing something. I have a Talmud who's going to teach at next door, and I gave him my forthcoming article. I said, don't show it to anyone, but prepare your notes and see what you can use. Okay. The Rev changed his mind. Okay. So Hacky, Rabbi Lookstein, tells a story that they found with the ultrasound the baby had a very bad disease. And the Rav was mater to do an abortion. And Hacky looked at the Rav, Rabbi, can we really be mater this? He said to Hacky, you haven't seen the results of this disease when they're born. I have. I'm mater to do an abortion. And see, here you have to weigh the factor. This I spoke with Rabbi Soloveitchik at length. The factor of the impact on the woman. In other words, there's a certain pikuach nefesh involved here. We don't want the woman to have a nervous breakdown. God have mercy. I've seen people with nervous breakdowns. They can't function. I've seen life. Just last week I saw something right here in this building. I'm still shaking. And Rabbi Miller saw, and he also didn't understand. The Yomo filled him in after I explained to Yomo what was happening. So you see, is it good or bad? We don't know what is going on in the woman's body. And the Medrash seems to feel very important not to know. If you know, שאילו ידעו, מקום כפני יצחיים, שאילו ידעו מה בבטן המלאה אפשר שהרשעים יבקשו תפולות שתפיל האישה פרי בטנה, כשידע שהוא זולת רצונה. Wow, and that's already an early achron. This is hundreds of years ago. Alach et kama v'kama today, let's say Down syndrome. Do you realize what a delicate question that is? And I've seen, I have to tell you, women over 40, I don't know what the percentage is, but it must shoot up to, I would imagine, 25%. Check it out, go online. It's frightening how many Down syndrome babies I've seen from women who couldn't conceive before or conceived accidentally got married late and Down syndrome. Some Down syndrome children, they develop them in Israel here, they don't give up. Fierstein, Zichrona Levracha, they develop them to quite a good level. They can actually hold the job. A simple job, a menial job. And then you see Down syndrome children, they have to put them in a home. I'd hate to be the Rav who got that child, understand? And the ultrasound opens it up. So you see, there's a pro and con here. On one hand, your wife is pregnant, my wife is pregnant. We never knew what the child would be. There are no ultrasounds, it's minashamayim. And then you wait at the end, you find child is born, you gotta shoot into action. If it's a boy, a shalom zachar, kid is born Friday morning, how the heck do you get the nahit, get everything together for the shalom zachar, the beblach? Today, it's unbelievable. They know. Now, I got to tell you, with my grandchildren, one said at least never wanted to know. They told the doctor, don't tell us. They just wanted the thrill, the child is born. Then you make the arrangements, everything should go well. Other people, months in advance already, the Brit, where it should be, who will cater. Or it's a girl, what do you do? We shalom zacha, do we welcome the girl? Do we make a pie? You know, we have the problems today. I God have mercy, I had a student, they made a brita for a girl. I'm a yaretz, they're missing a gemara in Sanhedrin, daf chaf bet. Ein isha koreitet brit, ela l'misho shokli. You need a good, Natan, you need a good lecture on sex. Go back, Rakefet spent the year on the topic. It's on YU Torah. But they want the thrill. But here where you know, Chas v'chalila, you can, an abortion. Could you imagine my friend, and we're talking someone, a first-rate Talmud Chacham, a professor. He didn't visit his wife in the house. She never forgave him. She had others, she told me she would open her heart out to me. And I got to tell you, your wife, a child, sakana, the baby, come back and buy your wife a million gifts when she has the
Someone
baby.
Someone who can do that probably has a lot of other problems too.
Well, what I saw was when you think you're it, that's bad. That's bad. And the biggest compliment I can say, at my age I can talk freely already. Twice I got the same compliment to me. It was the greatest compliment I got in my life. Twice. 22 years ago and 20 years ago. I was scholar in residence in Australia. A whole month, gave endless lectures, thousands. At the end, they made a catered farewell dinner. And the chief rabbi of the Mizrahi community and all, you know, was there. If you know Australia, it's Mizrahi, Chabad. All the Gedolim were there. I don't want to mention very famous names. And he gets up and he says a few words and this and that, and he says, but let me say something about Rabbi Rakefet that is very unique. Pardon me for saying this, okay? I've never met anyone who knows more, and I never met anyone who's more normal. Do you believe it? I go to South Africa 2 years later, I'm there a month, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Johannesburg, farewell party, the chief rabbi of the Mizrahi community, which he really is the chief rabbi of all of South Africa, because they have one bait and they're very organized and their unity. That's why they have so many balei tshuva. They don't have the example of Rabbanim throwing dirt at each other. That's South Africa. We should emulate them. So, exactly the same thing. So, Baruch Hashem, you gotta be, who are you? What are you? People said, I say to the people who don't know me from a hole in the ground, they stand up for me. I look at them, I say, if you heard me give a shiur, and at the end of the shiur you stood up for me, I'll accept it. But stop, I said, who are you standing up for? I'm a kid. I'm still walking with Moriah Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. He's sitting right here. I have to live up to him, grab him. Spoken learning with Rav Moshe Feinstein. You don't know who Rav Moshe was. Vic knows a little. But as this kind of a human being, here, I'll tell you a story, Roy Albert, let me tell another story, before Yom Kippur, you should talk about Gedolei Yisrael. Roy Albert, it's a young rabbi, Rabbi Irwin A. Albert, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, one of my best friends, the photographer. So he gets a very difficult shaila, a couple is getting married, and he's going to perform the wedding, and he starts asking them, and he's worried about Mamzeret. I don't know exactly what the shaila was, so he calls the Rebbe in Boston. The Rebbetzin says, Rabbi Albert, I see you're very agitated. My husband is not home, but there are many calls he got, but I'm putting your name ahead of the list to call you back when he gets home. And now it goes by, and Roy is plotting. Calls Rav Moshe. The Rebbetzin answers, and he says, Doretz Yitzchak Alpit, the Zun from the Chazan, his father was Chazan, and she gets all excited. She says, Meishel, Meishel, the Zun from Chazan Alpit, Klunza, Klunza Chan is calling you. So Rav Moshe gets on the phone, and he says to Roy, I'll try to say it in English. Natan shouldn't fall asleep on me. Natan, Rav Moshe says to Roy, Nem de Evinesa. Oh, take an Ebenezer. Cook dust, looking to the Mefarshim. Nu, Vastra, what do you think? And Roy says, we can matter, say, ja, ich trecht iber, eichet a say. All right, a half hour later, the Rav calls Roy, and he says, Rabbi Albert, I'm not your encyclopedia. What do you know? Let me hear. And Roy starts quoting everything. And the Rav says, ay, 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 the Rav says to him, Yitzchak, ein zach ken ich achzak, and one thing I can tell you for sure, ayah seichel is das nish, this is not your learning, this is, who did you talk with? And Roy says, yeah, the Rav says, ich tracht ebre, I join you and Rav Moshe, my cousin, min ken mata sein. You follow? But a person, if you think, oh God, there's a humility. I remember Rabbi Aaron Kotler, I'll never forget, I climbed up three flights to his home in Borough Park. It was a walk up. I'm going to have a test if I can get into Lakewood. And I'm walking up a vase. I was a 15, 16-year-old kid. And I figured for sure Rabbi Aaron Kotler's home, I'm going to open the door. I'm going to meet angels. Come in, it was all in one room, the living room, his study, and there are targets on the floor. His grandchildren are shooting at the targets. You follow? And boy, that was a lesson I never forgot. All right, if you read Washington, you'll see what happened with that Bechina, with Rabbi Aaron Kotler's eyes. But he's a Gedolei Yisrael. This is Yiddishkeit. This is Torah. And I always consider myself a failure if people know me and they don't become totally observant. See, something's the matter with me. I didn't impress properly. But that's a different story. Want to show you one more source. Very fascinating. Yep. This is the Medrash Rabba. You go to the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Dalet Amid Bet, it's a slightly variant reading. Shiva Devarim Mechusim Bivnei Adam, Ve'eluhem, Yom HaMita, Yom HaNechama, Om HaKadin, Ein Adam Yudeya Masher B'libo Shel Chavero, Ein Adam Yudeya B'ma Mishtakeh, Malchut Beit David Matai Tavza. Malchut Chayevet Matai Tichle. And I'll give you the translation here. Malchut Chayevet. And it means a government that is evil, that is rotten to the core. When will it end? That you don't know as well. Malchut Beit David Matai Tachza, Malchut Chayevet Matai Tachala. It spells it out. What's missing here? Not one word about the baby, about the embryo. So if I want to be a real ma'amin in the power of Chazal, and this is open to question, I don't have to tell you, Moshe Meisel in his book, how much the medicine, the knowledge of Chazal, no, Reb Avram ben Arambam, that Tzias Chayes, Mavava Talmud, they only knew what was extant at that time. But from this Gemara in Pesachim, they knew there'd be a ultrasound, a sonogram. That is missing. And let me end off the Gemara. Let me end off the class. We'll build on this next week. Or next time we meet after Sukkot. Tana Rabbanan. Gimel Devarim Olu V'machshava Lehibarat. V'yim Lo Alu Din Hu She'ya'alu. And this is interesting. Chukim and Mishpatim. How many of you have studied Chorei, Rav Shenzenfeld Hirsch, or medieval Jewish philosophy? You hit this too. There are certain things we do in life that are nothing to do with logic. Who can? What's wrong with eating chazer? I know many people who ate chazer and they're still alive and kicking. They just did an article on Bloomberg, the Jewish player who was the first person to be the substitute hitter. What do they call it? Designated Hitler. The substitute Hitler is more correct, but designated Hitler. Okay. So they describe him that one day, Erev Rosh Hashanah, he got a hit that ended the game and the Jews were able to go to shul on time, the temple. But they described the same Blumberg in the article, maybe a New York Times article, the same Blumberg was eating ham sandwiches at some affair a few weeks earlier. And this person who evidently wrote it did not eat ham or pork. But what's wrong? So those are chukim. Mishpatim are logic. We shouldn't kill each other. We shouldn't rob from each other. That's logic. So that's what the Gemara is saying. There are three things that if God had not created them, we would have to create them. And very interesting. Very interesting. Al hamed sheyasriach. If the body would not give off a bad smell, we would leave the body in the house. How can you get rid of your father, your mother? Lo aleinu, get rid of a son, a daughter. I just had two students. One lost a son. Today's the funeral. Yoma went to the funeral now. And I have another student, a few weeks ago, Lo Aleinu, lost a daughter, mother of seven children. As a matter of fact, Friday night, I davened with my student, and his son-in-law, who was a widower now, was there at the minyan there with them for Shabbos. So thank God, the body is masmir, so you bury it. V'al hamet she yishtakach min halev. And this is also part of the same concept that we, in other words, the pain resides. It goes back a little. To lose a father or mother is normal. To lose a child is much harder. But we have to go further. I always speak about David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo, that in my case, it's against Chazal. In my office, a picture of David hangs. This morning, I davened in the same seat in shul. I always davened 5:30 minyan. That's David's seat right next to mine. Again, I looked at the seat, I said, oh, that's David's seat. But generally speaking, ames sheyishtakach min alev. That's number one. Number two, v'al hatvuah shel tirkav. That our produce should rot. What does that mean? If our produce didn't rot, I have a friend, I just ate supper with him Friday night. He always had the ability to make money. Junior year in Yeshiva College, he and another kid, a true story, all my stories are true outside of one, but everything else is true. No, there is one I tell, but that has to do with Basar B'Chalav and BMT, but that's not for now. And Yeshiva College, at the end of his junior year, he and his friend go to Germany for a stamp show, and they're revealing a new first day stamp in Germany. He and his friend buy up 5,000, put in like $15,000, buy up 5,000 first day covers. Within 2 weeks, they had a monopoly. They made a fortune. Every stamp dealer in the world who wanted it had it turned to them. And they went on to have the biggest stamp business in the United States. Today already no one saves stamps, everything is on the computer. I don't know how well the business is doing in the hands of the children and grandchildren who succeeded them. Why am I telling you this? If vegetables wouldn't rot, you have a farmer, he keeps all the tomatoes, all the cucumbers, all the lettuce. Nothing's available. 2 months later, you want lettuce? $10 a head. You want tomatoes? $10 a kilo. Thank God it rots. Right? The Gemara has such insight here. And finally, Al Hamadeya Sheyotzei. Thank God, if God had not done it, we would have to do it, that money can be used as a commodity. Why is that so important? Well, you take Alan, he's a millionaire. He has all types of fruits and vegetables he grows, and cows and donkeys. He can barter. By the way, this is how they survived in Russia under the communists. My first Saturday night there, they served a can of delicious herring. I said, where do you buy this? They laughed at me. You can't buy this. From work, if you work in a factory like that, you rob every day another 10 cans. You use it to buy shoes from someone who makes shoes. He passes each one. Commodities. Poor people who don't have a farm and don't have vegetables and don't have fruit and don't have cans of herring, what are they going to use to buy something? That's coinage. That gives us a system beyond commodities that you have to raise and grow, but you need the land, the space, the ability, the knowledge. What a profound Gemara. Anyway, just to summarize, thank you for bearing with me today, and in Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just wish, no more tzar, no more bad news. but I guess a human being can't ask this way. We're just normal, but no matzah, no more bad news. I've buried this past year too many students, put it that way to you. And again, I throw out the challenge. Someone who's good in biology, go on to get a PhD and stay in research. Don't have the Yetzer Hara to make a fortune of money. Stay in research. Find the cure for breast cancer. Gotta find the cure. We've made so much progress in heart, right or wrong. Terrific progress. I just got an email from Dr. Gewirtz, who told me he suffers from what killed his father, and today with the heart they can do miracles, mamish miracles. But cancer, we're still at the bottom end. We've made progress, but not enough. My dear students, a very fascinating Midrash Rabbah. God doesn't want us to know what's in the embryo. So that would seem to indicate, don't do a sonogram. Not for you to know. If you know, it can result in terrible actions, chas v'chalila, abortions, etc. We're going to pick up right where we left off when we meet again, but no women allowed to come to shir. I don't see any women here today, but that particular shir, don't bring your wives, your daughters. V'hamevin yavin. Tomorrow, I wouldn't miss the shir for all the missiles that have been given to the Ukraine. We come the start of the heart of the Satmar Rav and how he relates to the Six-Day War. You may bring your wives, your daughters, your sons, your grandchildren. It's Rat Hashem, one shir, I'm going to have a great-grandson here. My grandson wants to bring him to see how his great-grandfather teaches. It's my great-grandson who had a bar mitzvah, didn't see him a second, Megillah, etc., etc. Be'ezrat Hashem, he said, does he know English? I have some great-grandsons who are fluent in English. But this branch took the easy way out. They spoke Hebrew. And it's a problem. But I told my grandson, don't bring him Sunday. But I didn't reach it Sunday. Don't bring him the next Sunday. Are there any questions from the most wonderful students in the world sitting in front of the Rebbe and giving him life? And you know, I now understand. The Kollel must look at me that I'm an old geezer, 85. Who's interested in hearing from an old guy gone over Iber Buttle saying, Natan, will you tell them the Rebbe loses 70 years when he teaches? Got it? I'm in Bnei Akiva now, giving a lecture where I met my wife. I was 17, she was 15. She was busy. I write about it in Washington. She was talking to her friend Phyllis Shaw, and I yelled at her, what am I up to? And she said, Hamal bish bnei chaveru b'ravim, no, chayav mitah.
Well, I think Stop is becoming a little more tolerant. I'm working now in Monroe, Kiryat Yoel, for 13 years.
Kiryat Yoel is today Palm City.
Palm Tree, right. But I have no one calls it that, Kiryat Yoel, and in Muncie where that. And for 13 years, I have my work yarmulke. It's a big black velvet yarmulke.
And now you're wearing...
No. So the last day at work, before I came to Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reason, I was rushing. I forgot to switch yarmulkes before I come to work. So I'm wearing this yarmulke. I forgot it's on my head. And people are kind of looking at me a little strange for 13, you know. And then someone comments to me, oh, I see you wearing a small yarmulke today. And I said, small? And I bet, yeah, I'm going to run across the street. There's this farm store. I'll buy myself a velvet yarmulke. And he said, you don't have to do that. No one's going to tell you.
Right, no. Satma will either go the way of a sect that may not even remain totally Jewish in our sense. I hope I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
But the PhD thesis spelled it out. You'll see what I have on. I'll get there. Or they're going to come back to the mainstream of Judaism, which is happening slowly but surely. It's happening.
That is more likely.
And the challenge to us is, when you have two Satmar Einiklach in the army right now, one is not from, one remains from. And I'm told the Bashkana Rebbe, that's Ruzhin, Rebbe Israel Friedman, who's an Aluf Mishneh, he's a Tatalov, he's a brigadier general in the Israeli army, the only Hasidic Rebbe in the world with that rank. He played a big role in keeping him from. Okay, I want to wish you all here Besorah Tova, Jeshut V'Nechamot, until we meet again, in health and happiness and an easy, meaningful fast. Okay? It's a lot of pressure on me. They gave a psak here, if you're 85 or older, that I'll have to fast, you have to drink, dehydration. I got through Tisha B'Av. Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll be okay. I am davening early. The minyan on Rosh Hashanah worked out very well, and we're having it again. We're beginning at 10 after 6. It's about taking minyan. And that way I'll be home with my wife for most of the day, which is very important for her. And I'll be able to take a good nap. So ani makaveh, we should get through Kippur with ease. Then the problem begins with the Dalet Minim and my usual supplier. All I can tell you is, he went to the field and it's Shemitah. He said there was nothing worth taking. So I put my son-in-law in charge, but we'll manage. It's very hard to find an etrog that is possible.